Here we go. So, you want to be on the radio. Well, you've come to the right place. Hi there, I'm Joanne McCall, and joining me this evening is Pam Atherton. Now, Pam is a friend of mine and a longtime radio host. She and I have spoken at a number of national events together, including Book Expo America, the Independent Book Publishers Association, and others. And she has got quite the bio here. Listen to this. A 17-time award-winning radio and television personality whose guests have included Buzz Aldrin, Madeleine Albright, Brian Tracy, Willie Nelson, and Cher. She also speaks across the nation as a keynote and workshop leader about topics that include customer satisfaction, business identity, and dealing with the media. In addition, she works privately with authors, experts, and celebrities on how to be effective in dealing with the media and creating media strategy. Swim with the Sharks author Harvey McKay calls her truly the best of the best. Pam was recently featured in Life magazine. I remember that. I saw that. And, by the way, she's a very dear friend of mine. So welcome, Pam.
Thank you so much, Joanne. This is going to be so much fun.
It really is, and I'm just delighted you could join me for this chat about getting on the radio. And just so our listeners know, I, too, come from a media background and started in radio at the young age of 16. I don't know if you even know that. Did I ever tell you that?
I didn't know you were 16. I knew you were young. But yep. So it was just a few years ago then.
That's exactly right, yeah, only a couple of years ago. And I did, I did music shows, talk shows, that sort of thing, did lots of interviews with people and decided that, after a few years of that, several years of that, I really am at my core an entrepreneur. And this is when radio was going through all the corporate changes. Yeah. And I decided to create my own PR firm, which mostly promoted authors. So in this show, you and I, together here, Pam, we're going to cover everything people need to know about being great on the radio, whether it's getting booked on radio shows, the do's and don'ts, of course, the do's and don'ts of being a great guest, and we're also going to talk about people who want to have their own radio show or podcast and how to be a great host. There's a lot of do's and don'ts for that as well. So what do you think? Is that a good place to start?
There is. We do not have enough time.
No, we don't. You're right. That's for sure. There's a lot to cover here. Why don't we start with getting booked on shows? Because I know you've booked lots of guests. I have as well. So for those listening who would love to be on radio shows, let's start with some of the – you want to start with the do's or the don'ts? Which would be
you
more
start off and I'll fill in. You be play-by-play and I'll be color.
All right. You're funny. Okay, well, let's start with some of the do's. We'll start with the positives. So first, the first one I'll throw out there is whenever you want to book a radio show, first of all, make sure it's a show that would cover your topic. I mean, it's so important that you direct your pitch to the correct program. So if you've got a topic that's about business, then you probably don't want to pitch a political show, right? And I'll bet you've had some misdirected pitches too, haven't you, Pam?
Yeah. Absolutely. I get hundreds of pitches a month. And I know someone who saw me speak wanted to be on my radio show. And I'm very clear. I have two radio shows right now. One is about business and communications. And another one is about, women and middle age kind of what they're going through, mm-hmm. life and other matters. And this guy had written a book, a male anthology, or he had edited this book, and it was stories about men, how they were coming into their own, what they were learning about themselves. Didn't fit under business, certainly didn't fit under women. And so I said to him, this doesn't look like it's something that would, particularly work for me. And he kept writing over and over and over again. I had another one just last week, how to prepare for college. Again, not about business. Not about women and what they're going through. So it's really important, as you said, that you know who you're pitching to, that you're not just throwing it against the wall. And I'll go one further than that. You need to listen to the show that you're pitching to so that you get a feel for them. Do they have a humorous side or are they very conservative? Mm-hmm. And what are the host's name or the producer's name? Because there's nothing worse than just saying, dear sir or madam.
Right. And in this day and age, it's pretty easy to find these things out. You do a search on Google, you find shows. You can actually listen if they have a downloadable podcast. It's not like the old days being, you know, a few years back when, I mean, do you remember the days when you you would call a radio show across the country and ask the receptionist to put you on hold so you could hear the music and you could hear the jock doing the breaks so you understood, you know, their
the only way you could hear it.
Yeah. It was the only way you could hear it. And now, I mean, there's just no excuse. I mean, there's just no excuse not to know who you're going after.
And, well, you know, and it's important to recognize, too, that not only will you not get booked on that show, but you may also be kind of blocked from it, because once a host or a producer sees that, they know that you're not paying attention and they just trash your stuff without reading it.
And you know what? They're sort of like elephants never forgetting.
Yes.
You know, really, I mean, you remember those things. And so you don't want to come across that way. You want to do your research and make sure you're pitching correctly. And I would add, as far as pitching goes, that there are some shows that are guest-driven. So the host has lots of guests on the show. And then there are other shows that are audience and caller-driven. So, you know, Dr. Laura isn't doing her regular radio show anymore. She's doing online, I believe. But when she was on radio stations all over the country, she very seldom had a guest on. It was all caller-driven. People called in with their problems, and then she yelled at them, and that's how that went.
Right.
So you don't want to be pitching shows that where they're just guest-driven. So that's another reason for doing your research and making sure you're going after the right program.
Well, and it tells us that you're not professional because you haven't done your homework.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. So I would, Pam, how do you most like to receive information? Let's start with that.
It depends. If you're a publicist that I know, and you are, okay, I'll always take your phone call.
Yay.
Always. Yeah, well, but there are a few, only because I know you've always brought me good guests, and I know that you are professional. You'll make sure that I have the information I need, when I need it, you'll confirm all of those things. If it's somebody that I don't know, I would prefer getting an email.
Mm-hmm.
That, by far, especially, and the reason I don't like the phone call is because it takes me off guard. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you found me. I don't know anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you send me an email and I find your pitch is interesting, then I'll go look you up.
Right.
I'll go see if you're legitimate.
Yeah. That speaks to the importance of having a platform before you even go out and try to get any shows or any kind of publicity. Because
absolutely.
Yeah, because they're going to look for you. So if you don't have a website or a blog or at least social media outlets, if you're not online at all, it looks like you don't exist, quite frankly.
Well, and if I Google you and you don't show up, then that tells me, again, that you haven't been doing this for very long.
Right. Yeah. That you're.
Yeah. And I don't want to take a chance on somebody that I don't know that they have ever done this before.
Right. And you can tell. You can really tell.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be pitching your own shows and, you know, emailing, starting with a hook, making sure you do your research, you go after the right show, and then if it's appropriate to have a phone call or even back and forth with email, I always suggest that you create your own booking sheet. And I created mine years ago, and I always use it. It's right in front of me whenever I'm talking to a producer or a host that's booking their own show, and it always has like the interview day and date, because you're going to be discussing that, what day and date, and make sure you know your calendar. You have your calendar in front of you so that you can say, yes, I can do that date, or no, I can't do that date. How about this date? Rebooking takes twice as long as booking it right the first time.
Well, and if you have to change it, it's a problem. If I have to change it, you have to live with it. But that's the way it is.
That
right?
is the way
I mean,
it is.
You're a guest and you're not paying. So if that's it. However, if you call me up and say, I can't do that date, now my whole schedule is screwed up. I may have even started promoing you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a problem. So you want to make sure you have your calendar right in front of you when you're looking at dates, because in the moment, that's fine. If you say, I can't do, you know, August 22nd, can we do the 24th or the 25th? And then it's a conversation, kind of like a negotiation, if you will. So you want to make sure you get your contact's name down, whether it's the producer or the host, their phone number, their email, all of those kinds of things. You want to know if the interview is live or if it's taped. These are important. If it will be over the phone or in studio, some of them are in studio. Did you used to do in-studio interviews, Pam?
Sure, you did. Yeah. You used to send me a lot of guests when I was up in your area.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a little while ago, wasn't it?
Yep.
I do know.
Back when you were 16, a couple
yeah.
of years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 17, you know. Yeah. I know why I've always liked you, Pam. Also on that booking sheet, who's the interviewer? Because, again, you might be booking with a producer, so you want to know who the name of the interviewer. You should know that anyway from doing your research, right? But you right. want to write it down on the booking sheet. I always include the type of station. You know, is it a syndicated radio program? Is it a talk show? Is it a music station, but you're doing a public affairs program? I mean, these kinds of things are good to know. And I always make note of the material sent. Did I mail them a book? Did I mail them a press kit? Did I email it? I mean, it's just a way to track what you've done and what you still need to do. And then, of course, this is really, really important now when you're booking those shows, is that you make sure you know who is calling whom. Is the station calling you or are you calling in? And then you right. need the phone numbers and you need backup numbers.
Yep. Absolutely, backup numbers. I cannot tell you how many times there have been problems with somebody and we've needed to get a hold of them in a different way or their publicist. Absolutely critical.
Yeah, it really is. And when I'm booking my clients, I make sure everybody has everybody else's phone number because at the time of the interview, I might not be right there. I might be, you know, with another client or they're booking something yeah. else or something else is going on. So I want to make sure you're empowered to, you know, do what you need to do. And you know, I think speaking to organization is important, too. You need to have this in your calendar. You need to have the numbers. I mean, you need to have everything right in front of you.
Right. And I think you mentioned it, maybe you didn't, but you need to put how long the interview is. Is it a 10-minute quickie or is it a full hour that you're having to cover? That makes a big difference.
It really does from the media training standpoint, too, doesn't it? I mean, it tells you,
yeah.
how your answers. A 10-minute radio interview is going to be very different from an hour-long show.
Right.
In an hour, you can tell all kinds of stories and make all different kinds of points and get your key messages. But 10 minutes, that's a lot faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's see. And then your emergency backup numbers, those are so important. And then always, always, always check in a day or two before. Even if you have everything all worked out, check in a day or two before and just say, hey, because I do this with Pam, hey, you got everything you need for the interview coming up on Thursday? And she'll
yep.
tell me if she doesn't. Right.
Yeah, I get almost, I would have to say, 100% of the publicists that I deal with send me a confirmation no sooner than 24 hours prior to. I might get it 48, but what I mean is that it's not sooner to the interview than 24 hours.
Yeah.
100% of the publicists will do that. If I'm dealing with the actual guests themselves and I don't hear from them at hour 48, then I confirm with them and I say, look, we're still on for this, right, at this time and at this phone number. A confirmation, critical. I just had it happen to me the other day. They had not sent me the book, and they started to confirm the interview, and I said, nope, I didn't get the book. We can't do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, that's how that is.
Yep.
I remember being on the air and having guests scheduled that didn't show up, and that is a huge no-no. Huge.
Oh.
That is not acceptable. I think people really need to understand this.
Yeah, you have ruined your career when you bust.
Yeah.
And that's what it's called. It's called busting. When you don't show up, calling late is bad enough. And that is a horrible black mark against you. But not calling at all or not appearing at all, you can be blackballed. There are a lot of people because a lot of times producers move from show to show. And so they will remember when you don't make it to the interview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and, you know, you don't want that particular producer, you know, going to the Today Show or something, and they're going to remember
right.
your name, right?
Oh, they will. It's the worst thing that you can do is to not show up because, again, you may have been already promoted. you may have already, you know, the schedule is in there, and the guest, I mean, hopefully the host will have something in backup, in the, what we call in the can, to cover if you don't show up. But you've just put them at a huge disadvantage, and everybody has to scramble. And people don't forget that.
No, no. In fact, I remember when I was on the air, the first time someone busted and didn't show up, I didn't have anything with me. I didn't know yet the importance of doing that. So I was faced with an hour. Okay. It was awful. I mean, I got through it and I came up with subjects and I took callers on the air and it actually, but I felt just terrible. I felt under the gun the entire time. And I never, and it's a shame because not only did I hold that against the author, if I'm really honest here, right. I also held it against the publicist. I was really mad.
I was just going to say, yeah. There's because you're supposed to think that the publicist has control of the situation and of their client.
Yeah.
And I know that's not really fair. It's like kids, you know, you can't, sometimes they do things and you can't stop them. But when that happens, I've called up a publicist and just said to them, this has severely damaged our relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
You need to be direct like
yeah.
that. So, good. I'm glad we're putting this out there because it's just so important. If you make the commitment to be there, you need to be there. So let's talk about some other do's. Okay, so let's say you've got the show and you're calling in or they're calling you. So some things to really prepare yourself. When I was on the air, like a half hour before I'd go on the air, I'd start singing and drinking warm water. To warm up the vocal cords.
Right? That's smart.
You do that
very
too?
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that cold drinks and ice are the worst things you can do for your voice.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous already, then your vocal cords tighten up, and now you've really got a problem.
And I would add, stay away from dairy products because milk
yeah.
causes all kinds of, you know, phlegm and. It's just, it's
well, and actually, you shouldn't even eat. That's another thing. We learned that for years as a disc jockey because there's a smacking sound that happens right after you've eaten.
Right.
And you can hear it on the mic. So don't eat at least an hour before you do your interviews.
So true. Okay, so you're warming up the vocal cords, drinking warm liquid, tea, warm water, whatever, and singing is always good to kind of warm things up. And then you want to make sure that you don't have call waiting on your phone.
Oh, that's so smart. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of interviewing somebody and there's these blank spots because that's where the call waiting is hitting the other person.
Oh. And here's another one. You can't use your cell phone. Sorry.
I was just going to say that.
For
you just beat me to it. Yes.
Sorry.
There's an actual electronic reason for that. It's not because we're being trifling here, but it has to do with digital and analog. And the digital just doesn't work right with the audio systems, so it makes a very bad audio. And guess what? The host never sounds bad, but you sound bad on the digital phone. I'm just saying. And I always want my guests to sound as good as possible.
Absolutely.
So landline. If you're going to be doing interviews, if you don't have a landline in your own home, maybe you have a friend who does. I did. I used to go to her house at 6 in the morning when I was, you know, giving out interviews because that's just a must for audio quality.
Well, and I would add, if you are planning to do any webinars or teleseminars, you need a landline also. So you might as well have a landline. If you plan to do this sort of thing, have a landline. I know so many people want to get rid of it and just use a cell, but it doesn't work. And another part of the reason a mobile phone won't work is because it's using the airwaves to go from the headset to the base. And then when it goes to the station, it's from the transmitter, it's using the airwaves to the receivers. And there's just so much room for interference, and cell phones are notorious for it. You go into an area where, you know, there's a black zone where you can't get any sound. I mean, it's awful. It's awful.
Right, and we get what are called artifacts, and that is where your voice, I'll do a little bit for you now. It's like I'm talking to you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's happening. And And it's just, it's hard to understand. And I had a guest just recently, a guest who's very famous, who for some reason chose to use his cell phone, and he sounded very muffled. Mm. And that's another problem that happens. But you also said something really important a few seconds ago, talking about headsets. And that is, if at all possible, do not use a headset. And definitely never use speakerphone.
Right.
Because speakerphone gets too much of the, what we call ambient room noise. But a headset, even more so, if you don't have the headset, the mic in the right position, and you laugh too loud, all of a sudden your audio is overmodulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you have a muffly sound, or you move your head, and I can hear your hair every time you move against it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, use a handset if at all possible.
The thing with radio is the only thing, and the same with this recording, right? The only thing you have are your ears. You can't see
yeah.
us. You can't see our nonverbals or how we're describing or using our hands or anything. You only have the voice. You only have the voice to figure us out. Do you like us? Do we have good information? Are we credible? It's just a voice. And so when you're doing radio shows, it's the same thing. The listener only has your voice to determine if you're credible, if you're an expert, if they want to listen to you, and if they want to buy your book or whatever it is that you're promoting.
Right.
So it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised more people aren't, tuned into sound. Quite frankly, but
I think they don't realize, though, that they are, and they're not sure why they get cranky. So, for example, you might be listening to a radio show, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, this guy's nuts," and you don't know what it is, and it's that you can't hear him very well, or he sounds muffled, and that's the reason that you're cranky about it. And if only he had better audio, then you would have probably enjoyed it more.
Right. Right. Good point. Okay, so there you are. And again, the show's about ready to call you. You're getting ready. Something else to keep in mind is to make sure that your windows are closed in case it's summer and there's a lawnmower going. Or,
your dogs. I've had that before.
Oh, yeah. Dogs barking, people knocking on the door. And, of course, your kids, that's when they want you, is when you're on the phone. And
right.
You're going to be
yep.
doing
your cell phone. Did you remember to turn it off?
Yes. Exactly. All those things. So, I would just, in fact, you can listen to this recording again and just write all these things down. Just write these things mm-hmm. down and make sure that that you get it handled. I had a client once, Pam, I might have even had her on your show at some point, but when we first started working together, she was so nervous about it. And I walked her through it. We did mock interviews and that sort of thing. And she started, and she got very good at it very, very quickly. And within a couple of months, I was talking to her. I said, "You have a radio interview coming up here shortly, right?" And she says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm cleaning the pool." And I said, "Well, you're going to go in, right? You're going to go inside to do the interview, aren't you?" "Well, no, actually, I could just do it right here while I'm cleaning the pool." I said, "No, no, you have to go in." I guess the point is she learned really well, but, you still have to do these things.
You do. There was a woman I was interviewing who's fairly well known in the financial world, and she had to go on a trip somewhere, and she did the interview while she was packing. And you could tell she was not totally engaged. And it's very obvious. People think that they cover it, but we can tell when you're not 100% there with what we're doing. Plus, we could hear her zipping the suitcase and things.
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me. I did an interview with someone very famous, and I'm not gonna say her name here. It's tempting, but I'm not gonna say her name here. Anyway, she was quite famous, and I was taping it. It was gonna run on the weekend, and I was taping it, and it was a half hour show. I'm doing the interview, and I can tell. I mean, there's people like talking to her, whispering, and I could hear her signing letters or something. I could kind of hear, "Oh yeah, okay," and she's signing something, and I'm like, I'm right at the point of I'm going to end this. You know that point, Pam, where you're like, okay, maybe I was making the decision. And then she says, I hear another phone ringing. She says, "Hang on, let me put you on hold for a second." And she puts me on hold, right in the middle of the interview. And I'm like, I was so astounded. And I'm talking, of course, it's digital, so I'm watching my computer. I can see my little sound waves. I know where I'm going to edit, right?
Right.
And I'm kind of talking along. I'm saying, "I can't believe she's putting me on hold here. I mean, I cannot believe nobody has ever done this before." She comes back. Sorry about that. We continue with the interview. And then it happens a second time, okay? A second time. "Hang on." Puts me on hold. then I'm really mad, right? I'm really pretty mad at this point. So we finally get through the interview, and it ends, and she's very famous, right? So I get off the phone, and I spend an hour cleaning this thing up because I have to take out the edits where, you know, she put me on hold. I didn't want people to hear that, so I took all that out. I cut out as much of the paper rustling and extra noise as I could. I edited it all. It took me another hour, hour and a half, something like that. Okay, so the weekend comes. Another one of my clients is in town, and she's doing a workshop at one of the non-denominational churches in town. So we're there in the morning, and the office manager comes up and says, "What a great interview you did with so-and-so this morning, but I couldn't believe she kept putting you on hold." Exactly. I thought, oh, my God, they ran the They ran the edited version. They ran the wrong one. They ran the whole thing with me going, "I can't believe she put me on hold." Right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was standing there horrified, and my client looks at me and says, "Oh, who cares? Who's the one who looks bad there?"
Thought, no, that's true.
It is true. I thought, that is true. She made me feel much better. But anyway, don't do that. There's a don't for you.
Absolutely. If you're doing the interview, and you know, speaking of that, you know, we didn't talk about calling a little bit in advance, but if you're the one who's supposed to be calling, the window is 3 to 5 minutes in advance. No more than that, no less than that.
That's correct.
3 to 5 minutes is when we expect. We'll call you when we're ready for you. But you must always assume that the mic is hot, meaning that your mic is on and that people can hear everything you say. Mm. So when they say, "Hey, is this, you know, Joanne?" You say, "Yes, it is." But you don't say, "Oh, are we on? Is everything okay? Did you get my book? What did you think of it?" You know, none of that. It's all, "Yes, it is. How are you?" You always have to assume the mic is hot.
That's great. That's very, very good advice. Very, very good advice.
Even when they go to break, you know, you really have to be careful. Even if they come back to you and chat a little bit, you don't know if that's being taped.
That's true.
And you don't know what they'll do with that. So you must always really be careful and present your best side at all times when you're on that phone till you hang up.
I would just like to dovetail on that, that if a show calls you, so if this is not showtime, this is prior to kind of a pre-interview situation.
Yes.
If a show calls you, whether it's radio or TV, you are on. So when you answer the phone, you're on. Don't act, you know, half energy. I mean, really put your full self forward, because they are basically auditioning you. They're not telling you that, but they're auditioning you. And if you don't come to that phone with your energy, your thoughts, being really clear, succinct, compelling, getting your information out there, then they're going to bypass you.
Yeah, they'll bypass you, or they may have originally considered you for 20 minutes and they dump you down to 5 or 10.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of different things that can happen, but you're absolutely right. That pre-interview is very important from two reasons. One, it will help them to guide where they're going to go with what you're going to do and what you can handle.
Yeah.
Because if you have a low energy kind of a thing, then they're like, okay, great. The host is going to have to take the lead, and 5 minutes, no more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
You know, and to your other point about calling 3 minutes before, 2 to 3 minutes before, something else that I do with my booking sheet, so this is another reminder for people, when you're setting up the interview and they tell you call at 4:30, ask them, "Do you want me to call at 4:28? Because sometimes they'll say yes, or sometimes they'll say, "Actually, we're in the news at 4:30. So you can call at 4:30 right there, and we're going to come out with you at 4:35, for example. But ask. You want to ask that. And then make sure your clock is right.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I had somebody say to me that their computer clock was wrong, and it's like, not my problem. You just missed your show. Sorry.
Oh, dear. That's too bad. Time zones is important,
no,
too.
No, it's not. It tells you something very important. I mean, all of these things, they seem like they're small things, but they are all things that tell the host or the producer how professional you are.
Right, right, right. So even if you're just starting this, we are giving you such great information here that even if you're just starting, you can come across like a pro. If you do these things, you will come across as a pro. So that's one reason we're even doing this to begin with. Okay.
And so, you know what, too, what you were talking about in the interview, one other thing, always have a glass of water in front of you, because if you should start to cough or have some problems, you want to have that water right there.
Ooh, that's good. That's very good. And don't choke on it.
Oh, and it's something else on so many things. That sheet you're talking about, the booking sheet,
yeah, uh-huh.
I always at the top put the name of the host because
yes.
I don't want to get nervous and forget who they are.
Yes, yes. And to that point, if you're doing a series of interviews one morning, like a radio satellite tour or something like that, what I recommend that you do is you write all your key messages and stories on little 3x5 cards and set them all in front of you. And then as you do each interview and you make each point, flip the card over. Because I'm telling you, after interview number 3, you're going to forget what you said to whom. And where you
yes.
are, and what you've, you know, you do not want to repeat stories because then they'll get rid of you. They'll say, okay, that's it.
Yep. And have a different booking sheet for each show so that you
yes.
have the name of the host at the top, how long the interview is, when you're supposed to call in, what kind of a show it is, because you don't want to be raucously fun and exciting, and you have a very quiet NPR kind of show.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a very good point. That's a good one. Yeah, so those are quite a few of the do's and don'ts, huh, of booking a show.
Right.
Any others
yeah.
coming to mind? Let's see.
Well, are we about what you're talking about on the air yet?
Yeah, let's move on to that. I think let's move
okay.
on to that.
All right. To me, there's the one thing that is the worst possible thing that you can do. And I tell everybody the worst first. It'd be nice to tell the best, but it's the worst. This will get you kicked off every single show you're on. And that is when you act like an infomercial.
Oh.
When you are always talking about buy my book or buy my product,
yeah.
and you say things like, well, in my book, Joanne McCall is the greatest woman on earth, you'll find out that so-and-so and this and that. Well, and if you go to joannemccallisthegreatestwomanonearth.com, you'll find my book is right there, and you can find it at Amazon.
Blech.
Wow, I can't get you on fast enough, because you know what I think as a host? That you've tried to scam me and get a free commercial.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
We didn't invite you on the show to be a commercial. That's
no.
not why you got invited.
You know what? I mean, social media talks about this all the time, that you want to give, 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 and that's a way of demonstrating that you're an expert. But radio, this has been true for radio since the beginning. You want
yes.
to give, give, give as an expert, and then people will want more. That's how it works. If they really love what you're about and what your message is, they're going to want more. They're going to look for you. They're going to buy your book. They're going to do whatever to get whatever it is that you have to share. But you want to share it. And being an infomercial, you're right. That's the worst. And I tell people, don't ever say in my book. Just don't even ever say
right.
it.
That's
the host will say the book.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. I mean, there are some techniques that are much more complex, for more advanced, of how you can say that. I'll give you an example of that would be, well, you know what, Joanne, that's an interesting point. When we were researching for the book, we found that this was true and that was true.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we've gotten across that I have a book, but we didn't say, well, you know, Joanne, in my book, we find that 27% of all people think Joanne is the greatest woman on earth. You know?
Are we making fun of Joanne here?
It was you in your book. What can I say? Joanne McCall, the greatest woman on earth. Yeah.
Oh,
but,
so
you know,
funny.
There are so many other ways that you can get that point across and the book across and the website across that are not an infomercial. And that's one of the reasons why we suggest everyone, and in fact, you know this, even people who are very famous who have written book after book after book still come to media training and media strategy
yes.
to make sure that they're honed in on what their point is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could be so well trained in lots of different books, but once you have another book out, you've got new key messages, you've got new points to make, and the training is essential. And the best people get the training. They know. They don't have
yeah.
to be convinced of it. They know.
Yep.
They know.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So let's see. There was another point I was going to make. Oh, I remember. So when you're on the air and you're doing the show, remember you don't have verbal or visual cues when you're talking to your host or they're talking to you. So you want to make sure that you're not stepping all over them all the time. There's
right.
nothing worse. There's nothing
yeah.
worse.
And I've heard people who will just stop talking immediately once somebody else starts, and that's not good. That's not conversational.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is wind up your point as soon as possible if you get interrupted or they start to jump in on top of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think even in this call, so I think we've been pretty good about letting each other complete our points before picking up again. And occasionally we've stepped on each other, but it's not
but
like
that's
watching.
A conversation.
It is a conversation. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. But there is a difference between constantly stepping on top of somebody and conversationally every once in a while saying something on top of somebody.
Well, the show, The View. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They walk over each other all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have to turn the show off. As it's like, my goodness, I can't listen to
it's
that.
It's cacophony. It's too much noise.
It is. I can't keep up. So, yeah, you want to be careful. Oh, and something else. Now, this is very, very important. When you're on the phone and you're doing this interview with your host, keep in mind that your connection is only the host, but don't rely on the host to make sure that you're okay. Because, and for example, if your host is not giving you much feedback, it could be that all the computers just crashed or they just got word that their next guest is not able to make it to the show and they're scrambling trying to figure out what the next guest is going to be or what they're going to do next, and they need you to just keep talking. But they can't say that to you. They can't say, I need you to keep talking because our computers just all crashed here. No, you just have to assume that they want you to keep talking and keep talking. The host isn't necessarily going to be right there hanging on every word that you're saying, saying, oh, Pam, that's really wonderful. Oh, Pam, you're the greatest person in the world. I did it back.
Well, and also you will find that the more experienced hosts do not talk while you're talking. And there are several reasons for that. One, when you listen to it in playback or in podcast form, it's kind of disconcerting to hear all the time, it's very disconcerting. So what we would rather is that you give the whole point. But to go back to your point, there are hosts who are better than others. And I hear stories all the time from guests who tell me that the host will come on and say, so, Joanne, tell us about your book. And then you never hear the host again. So you have to be prepared to do a monologue, but you also need to be able to do a conversation.
Absolutely. I would also add that you, and this gets to media training again, it's very important when you're asked a question and then you answer it that you leave it so that the host has somewhere to take the interview. So you want to set up the next question, really. I was listening to a teleseminar a couple of weeks ago, and of all things, the interview was with a media trainer, and the media trainer was not setting up the next question. And so the host was doing all the work. The host was having to come up with, okay, what the next question would be, how we were going to lead it. And she did it twice. And when it happened a third time, the host quit doing it, and she just said, and then what? And then what? And put it right back on the guest.
Well, and it's true, and several things, too. You have to be very aware of, like you just said, we can't see faces, so we have to do it auditory. So, number one, you don't want to talk in long stretches. You don't want to ramble. So be aware if the guest keeps interrupting you. What they're trying to tell you is you're talking too long because I need to move on and you're talking too long. Uh-huh. That's number one. And then, you know, towards the end of an interview, what I tell people is listen for the music, because once you hear that music, you better be on the last 10 seconds of what you're talking about, because most shows have what's called a hard end. Mm-hmm. They have hard points that they have to hit. Sometimes it's in the middle. They have commercials that they absolutely have to make. So if you start to hear that music, wind it up, get done.
Yep, absolutely. And that, again, is all about media training, being able to do that, being able to wrap it up. So you're in the middle of telling a story. Well, how are you going to cut to the chase and get to the end, complete your point in 10 seconds? So it's important to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Pam Atherton today. I'm Joanne McCall, and we're talking about the do's and don'ts of radio, whether you're booking the show, you're on the show, and if you want to have your own show. So more and more people, Pam, as you know, are having their own radio shows or podcasts through there's various platforms. Blog Talk Radio is one. There's a lot of different platforms. And so here they are, and they're having their own show. They're hosting the show. They're having guests. So let's talk a little bit about how to be a great radio host, shall we?
so much to know. I find in working with people that the first thought that everyone has is that they don't need to prepare, that it comes naturally. After all, people tell them they're a great conversationalist. Or more than that, people will say, well, I'm part of the NSA, the National Speakers Association, so I really don't think I have a problem. Well, radio and speeches are not the same, and that you can't run them the same. But the very first thing that I tell people is you've got to be prepared. You've got to know where you're going and then make it sound off the cuff. But I prepare hours for a one-hour show.
Mm. Yeah, so that's great. And it sounds wonderful. I mean, you do a great job. So, in fact, when you hear people who make it sound really easy, they've had a lot more experience and they've put more prep into it, because that does not happen willy-nilly automatically. A point I would like to make in terms of being a host, if you have guests on the show, don't compete with your guest.
Oh, yes.
Wow. I can't count how many times I've heard it. Here you are, you're an expert in whatever your area is. You invite a guest on who's also an expert in maybe the same area or some similar area, and you don't allow them to make all their points. You want to compete and make the better point or something. I've heard a lot of people do that. So please,
hijacking the conversation.
Ugh.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a really good point, because you're there as a facilitator and to kind of guide, to make sure that the listener is getting what they want. And this is very critical. It's all about the listener. And this is really important. It's not about you. You think as the host that it's your show, but it's not about you. Because if people aren't listening to you, then you don't have a show. Okay?
Right.
So everything has to be about the listener. What is it they want to hear? How do you want to present it to them? What information must they get? So what I find is that you can tell an amateur from the beginning is they spend a lot of time in the front end telling you about them.
Mm-hmm.
And a good host doesn't tell you about themselves at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little intro that says, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the most wonderful woman in the world with 17 awards and 23 Emmys, it's Joanne McCall. And then Joanne McCall comes right in and says, hey, everybody, how are you doing? I'm so excited today. We have this great guest, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But too many times, I know you've heard it as well, it's like, hi, my name's Joanne McCall. I've been working for the last 30 years in radio. We don't care. We don't care. As the listener, we want whatever gift, whatever present you have in your guest.
I think another way to look at it, too, is if you're having a party and you've invited all your guests to come and you've introduced a couple of your guests to each other and they hit it off. So you don't want to compete with them and try to get into the conversation and say, well, no, you should be talking to me, not my guest. So this
right.
is similar to inviting a guest on your show and then competing with them. You don't want to do that. I mean, you want your guest to meet the listener. That's what it's about. And the listener will love you for that, because they're
right.
listening to your show and you're bringing this guest, and they want to listen to the guest because you're saying, this is a good guest. You should listen to this person. So,
right, you're Santa Claus. You're always bringing them great gifts. This week it's Joanne. Next week it's Joe Namath. You know, it doesn't matter that they love you because that's what you are. You're Santa Claus. But they want to get something from the guests. They want something that changes their life somehow. And if you're busy ho ho hoing in there instead of letting the guest give his gift, you know, you've lost the point.
Oh, ho, ho. and it's a very interesting time because, Pam, you and I, we've done radio for a long time, and now everyone can do radio through these various platforms and technologies. So it's kind of fun to be able to share the things that we've learned with others so that they, too, can be effective at what they're trying to do. So.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're finding out, research is showing us, is that the Internet used to be the wild, wild west. And it was exciting that anybody could get on the radio, anybody could do a YouTube, anybody could do anything. Well, what they're finding now is that the listener and the viewer is honing in a little bit. And now they want better audio and they want better video. And they want it tighter and more professional. Mm-hmm. So the days of the blurry camera of the 16 kitties, you know, is gone. right? It's gone. They want good quality. They just don't want to waste their time because guess what? There is good quality out there and they're going to find it.
Right.
So if you want to be that good quality, you've got to do a little bit more than the regular schmo that's out there.
And I would recommend that you listen to other radio shows, not necessarily internet radio. Some of it's good, a lot of it's bad. But your regular radio stations, listen to whoever's some of the top hosts in your own town. What's their energy like? How do they interact with people? How do they do interviews? You can be listening to this with a whole new ear and get tips from them. I mean, it's all around you. So you want to pick people and then model after them. That would be my piece of advice.
That is a great piece of advice because you will learn new techniques. If you listen from that ear of how is the host doing this, how long is the host talking before he goes to commercial, how long before he interrupts the guest or moves on to another point, those are really critical things. It's, you know, that's how you learn is by listening to the best.
It's true. And there's certain things that you can learn not to do, such as, this is one of my pet peeves, I have this question I really wanted to ask you. Just ask the question.
Just exactly. So many times you hear that. Well, I have another question for you.
Yeah, it's fine. Hello.
Well, okay.
I think it's
the best way is to find it to be conversational, if you can find a way to conversationally ask that question. And this goes back to something that we talked about early on about when you pitch. You should always make sure as a guest that you supply at least 5 to 10 questions for the host. Because in most cases, the host is not going to read your book, probably not even going to read your material. So they're going to work off those questions. So you as a host, I can tell you that on an hour interview, I do 2 to 3 pages of questions. And you know who taught me this was Connie Chung. She used to get her producers who would give her questions, and she would write up questions, then she would put them all in an envelope, and then she'd do the interview because they would just be there at the back of her head, and the things would come to her as she needed them.
Ah, interesting.
More natural that way.
However,
if you're not Connie Chung and you haven't been doing this for a long time, I would suggest you have the questions in front of you. That's what I do.
That's great. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to prepare the questions yourself because then you know the kind of interview you're going to get, right?
Right.
So you should sit down and prepare 10 to 15 questions that you would most like to be asked in an interview. What are the questions that would allow you to share your key points about your book or your product or whatever it is that you're on the air about, your business? What are the key things you should talk about and then create a question around that?
That's excellent advice because in most cases when the host has not read your book or looked at your product, they're going to go down that list. And that allows you, that opens the door for you to say whatever you want. Having said that, if the host goes and asks you a question that's not on that list, you need to answer it.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a problem I see sometimes with people is they're not prepared for that. It's your product. It's your book. It's your whatever. You should know everything there is to know about that. Having said that, it's still okay if they go off in a weird direction that you're just like, what? Where did you get there? To say, you know what? That's not my area of expertise. But what I can tell you is blankety, blankety, blank.
Right. That's a good one. That's a very good one. I would also say if someone says something to you that isn't true, then rather than saying, no, that's not true, which is usually our default position, just say, actually, and then say the truth.
Yeah.
It's an awesome.
Actually, the latest research is showing us blah, blah, blah.
There you go. Actually, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Another one that you can do because, you know, a lot of times if you have a very confrontational or controversial subject, you may find yourself into a situation where the host becomes a little bit confrontational with you, and you don't want to go there in most cases. So you always want to try to find a way to agree with them. So, for example, if somebody says, well, you know, it was a white supremacist who did that. One of the ways you can solve it is, well, you know, Bob, there are people who think that. But here's what we know, blah, blah, blah.
Beautiful.
And it's the same as the actually, what you just said.
Beautiful. Yeah. These and again, this is some media training points, how to deal with difficult situations, how to deal with surprises. and you can do it, but it does take a little training to learn how to do that. And better to learn it in training rather than when you're on the air. There's a gentleman in Sedona. We've done several workshops together, and one of the workshops is all about media training. And the way we set it up is we would have each person, we would provide like the worst interview possible. So, for example, someone's written a book on, let me think.
Nail biting in medieval times.
There you go. And then we would have the worst interviewer you could possibly think of, the most nerve-wracking situation. And basically what happened was people learned how to deal with that. And the good news is there's no interview that they would ever encounter that would be as difficult as that one.
Right. And once you've been to the worst, then everything else seems much more comfortable and easy to handle.
And this is really how you build confidence. It's through difficult situations or challenging situations where you may not know what to do initially, but you learn. You try different things and you get better. And at some point, you're pretty darn competent, and it takes a lot for a surprise to really come at you.
Right.
One thing when I work with my clients is my PR clients, I'll ask them, is there anything that you're afraid to be asked?
Yeah.
Because that's what we have to uncover right away. And sometimes there is. Well, there's this, whatever it is, something.
Yeah.
And then we have to sit and talk about, okay, this is how we would deal with that. And then they feel much better, much more confident, and they feel okay about moving forward. That's so important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing too is that there are some people, I can remember when I would get them in media training, what would say, well, you know, I want to be on Oprah. Or they would say, well, I'm thinking Rachel Maddow and Larry King. And so we say, well, you know what? You want to make your mistakes elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because you only get one shot at the queen, you know. And so what I tell them is take every possible interview that comes your way, every possible one, because it's a chance for you to hone your message, a chance for you to get comfortable with what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there's the famous story. San Francisco, when Dr. Wayne Dyer was driving through town with his books in the trunk, and he was stopping at radio stations, and he would do an interview, and then he would sell the books at a bookstore. And he was like 3 in the morning or something going through San Francisco, or he was in San Francisco on the air at 3 in the morning. And Fred Friendly, isn't that his name, the one that was Johnny Carson's producer?
Oh, yeah.
Happened to be driving
yeah.
through and heard him on the air and thought
right.
he was so great that he brought him to Johnny Carson, and that's what ignited his career. Otherwise, he'd still be driving around with books in his trunk, you know? The point is you should always do your best job, always, and you should take every interview that comes your direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I had someone who, it was a smaller interview. It was a smaller market. And he did the interview, and it just so happened that a producer from NPR was sick that day. And she was in bed, and she was listening to the radio. She heard this interview, and she got a hold of me. You know, she did I think she contacted the publisher and finally got a hold of me. And we booked him on, I think it was on Morning Edition. So that's a
wow.
big deal. That's
yeah.
a big deal. And so that happens. That absolutely happens. You have no idea who's listening and who
yep.
is going to love what you're about. And now with the Internet, they can go and they can search. It's easier to find you now, but you have
yes.
to have a presence. All of that's important. And so, yeah.
yeah,
really practicing these things, getting your key messages down, taking every interview, giving it your best shot. And I too, have had people who say, well, I want to be on Oprah. I want to be on the Today Show. I say, okay, let's start in Decimal Point, Wyoming.
Yes. Yes.
Because
actually, you can have the most fun with those interviews.
True. Yeah. It's where
yep.
you can experiment.
Yes.
It's where you can try things. But
it's
you
what
don't...
good comedians do. They go out of town to practice their work.
Right, in smaller clubs.
Yep.
Yeah. Before and even the big guys, they go out to try their new material.
Yes,
so that's wise. That's good wisdom. All right. Well, we've covered quite a bit, Pam.
Yep.
Let's see. I wonder if there's a few other things. We talked about how to get booked on radio shows, the do's and don'ts of booking, how to prepare for the interview itself with the booking sheet and also, you know, warming up your vocal cords and all that, and then how people can have their own show and be a great guest. So, yeah.
You're
anything else you want to add? You're right,
the
a good host.
Thing,
sorry.
Yeah, the only other thing, and it goes back to everything from whether you're a host or whether you're going to be a guest, is you have to know what's unique about yourself. Mm. There are thousands of psychologists out there. Why should they book you?
Yeah.
Okay? There are a lot of radio hosts out there. Trust me. Just go to Blog Talk Radio and see how many there are. Why should people listen to you? What makes you different? What's your style? What is it that is going to intrigue people and keep them coming back? And you also have to be good at self-analysis. You have to listen to yourself back again and say, you know what? I ramble too much on that thing, or I say uh-huh too much, or I caught myself tonight saying absolutely too many times. So you have to be aware of yourself and not be afraid to say, I could have done that better. Next time I got to remember.
Right, right. I remember having to do air check sessions when I was on the radio, which was agony. It was absolutely agony. Air check sessions, that's when you have a tape, and every time you turn on the microphone, it records. And then you have to sit down in an office with your operations manager, your program director, or someone, and go over your show break by break. And sometimes you only get through one break, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you discover crutches, certain phrases, certain words, certain things you're doing on a regular basis. They're crutches, that's what we would call them, and breaking those kinds of habits. And we all run into those things. So your point about self-awareness, listening back to shows, I think is important. But don't listen back the same day that you did the show. Give it a day.
Yeah, you're still high on the excitement of it.
Yeah. Or
yeah, and you're reliving
whatever.
The moment of it as opposed to actually listening to it objectively.
Right. It gives you a little bit of objectivity. And, by the way, when you hear yourself on the recording, that is how you sound.
Yeah.
Just want to say, that is how you sound. So keep listening so that you can adjust and learn that that is how you sound.
That's what they're hearing.
Yep, that's absolutely
yeah.
Well, yep. Pam, so how can, people can do a search for you, of course, but let's help them out. How can they find you? What are your shows? What should we tell them about you?
Well, the show that I do on business communication and technology is called A Closer Look. We also sneak in some people like Carol Channing and David Baldacci, you know, people that we call success stories. And you can find us at aclosterlookradio.com. But if you'd like to know more, if you think that you'd like to be a host, or if you'd like to have more training as for being a guest or something, you can always reach me at media@pamatherton.com.
Wonderful.
media@pamatherton.com.
Wonderful.
There it is.
And you're a great host, and I've just enjoyed
listening.
I always enjoyed listening to your shows. And
well, you've been on my show several
times. I have, and it was so much fun.
It's been
it's
a great
like when you and I get together, blah, 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 kind of like here.
Well, and I don't know if people know this, but you are one of the top people to help people, to shepherd them through not only writing a book, but also getting it published and self-published.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you need it done, you don't want to have to learn it all on your own. It takes a long time. You go to somebody who has it all down. They guide you through it. It's really a smart way to do it.
Thanks for mentioning that, Pam. Yeah, I do these programs to help people with their book publicity, marketing, and visibility, joannemccall.net. And you can get some more information, and I'll keep you informed. And I love doing it. I love, love doing it and helping people. And that's one reason that we're doing this show, because so many people want to know how to get on the radio. And I thought, well, Pam, you up for it? Yeah. So here we are. But
yeah.
I really want to thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, I have a passion for it as well. And like I said, a lot of my clients are celebrities and authors and experts, people I can't say who they are. But they realize that it's very important to have the training done. I can't say it enough. There's not a person out there. There's maybe a few that are naturals. But even Harvey McKay tells me that he goes through it when he writes a new book.
Very few are natural. You know, the more natural someone sounds, the more training and experience they have. I'm really convinced of that.
I think
you're
right.
Pam, you know, we'll do something again, okay? And
I would dare.
Yeah, it would be so much fun. So, Pam Atherton, again, thank you for being a guest here. And, again, we appreciate you listening. Hope you got some good things out of this. Listen back to this recording and take some notes, you know, about the booking sheet, about things you should do prior, things you should not do, and you, too, will come across as a radio expert. Take care.